Let's continue reading verses 1 through 21 of Genesis 31. In this chapter, we have the record of Jacob's leaving Laban and the area of Padan Aram and heading home. Genesis 31, verse 1. Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what was our father's he has acquired all this wealth. And Jacob saw the countenance of Laban, and indeed it was not favorable toward him as before. Then the Lord said to Jacob, Return to the land of your fathers and to your kindred, and I will be with you. So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field, to his flock, and said to them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not favorable toward me as before. But the God of my father has been with me, and you know that with all my might I have served your father. Yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God did not allow him to hurt me. If he said thus, the speckled shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore speckled. And if he said thus, the streaked shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore streaked. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. And it happened at the time when the flocks conceived that I lifted my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks were streaked, speckled, and gray-spotted. Then the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, Here I am. And he said, Lift your eyes now and see. All the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked, speckled, and gray-spotted. For I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land, and return to the land of your kindred. Then Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, Is there still any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not considered strangers by him? For he has sold us and also completely consumed our money. For all these riches which God has taken from our father are really ours and our children's. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do it. Then Jacob rose and set his sons and his wives on camels. And he carried away all his livestock and all his possessions which he had gained, his acquired livestock which he had gained in Padan Aram, to go to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. Now Laban had gone to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the household idols that were her father's. And Jacob stole away, unknown to Laban the Syrian, in that he did not tell him that he intended to flee. So he fled with all that he had. He arose and crossed the river, and headed toward the mountains of Gilead. Once again, a few background notes. As Jacob became more and more prosperous, Laban and his sons began to take a different attitude toward Jacob. No longer was Jacob the one that was making Laban wealthy, but the one who was taking away Laban's wealth. So Jacob was ready to make a change. And it was at this point that God spoke to Jacob in a dream. God told Jacob in no uncertain terms to return home. You see that there in verse 13. This is the first time in 20 years that we read of God directly communicating with Jacob. It had been 20 years since God revealed himself to Jacob at Bethel. God had promised Jacob then that he would someday bring him back home safely. Now that time had come. I'm reading Genesis chapter 28 and verse 15, where God makes that promise. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. So Jacob gathered up his wives and children and servants and flocks and herds and headed back home, as we see there in verse 21. So Jacob fled with all that he had. He arose and crossed the river, that would be the Euphrates River, and he headed toward the mountains of Gilead. The mountains of Gilead would be the mountains on the east side of the Jordan River. But Jacob did not tell Laban that he was leaving. How come? Well, this would only have led to further friction. Now, you might ask at this point, how could Jacob handle all these logistics without Laban knowing? Well, I think verse 19 gives us the key. Verse 19 says that Laban had gone away from home to shear his sheep. So Jacob then took this opportunity to make his move as quickly as possible. But notice that verse 19 also says that Rachel had stolen the household idols that were her father's. Why would Rachel do that? Is she an idolater? Well, there may have been several reasons. These household idols, or teraphim, were mostly handheld feminine fertility figurines and were thought to bring blessing on the home and on the land, as well as bring children to the barren. So Rachel may not have been totally freed up from these pagan ideas and wanted these items, especially since she had been barren and still only had one child, Joseph. Another reason may have been that Rachel was getting back at her father for his unfair treatment of Jacob and the family. Look at verses 14 and 15 once again. Then Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, "Is there still any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not considered strangers by him? For he has sold us and also completely consumed our money." So Rachel may be trying to get back at Father Laban here. Furthermore, we know from ancient records, known as the Nuzi tablets, that the household gods were used as the title deeds to the property in that culture. So it could be that that's a primary reason why Rachel stole these household gods, to ensure that her right to her portion of the family property in the future was there. Rachel may have taken these household idols for all of these reasons. But so much for our background notes. Now let's move to our teaching or doctrinal points from this section. Doctrinal point number one: God is concerned about the unfair treatment of his children. God is concerned about the unfair treatment of his children. Notice what the Lord said to Jacob at the end of verse 12. "I have seen all that Laban is doing to you." God was aware and concerned about the unfair treatment that Jacob was receiving from Laban. We learn from verse 7 that Laban had deceived Jacob and changed his wages 10 times. Never a raise either. Always a decrease. Yeah, that's a lot of reductions in a 6-year period, isn't it? This was unfair treatment, and God was concerned. God had allowed Jacob to be in this situation because Jacob had some hard lessons to learn. But God was watching, and he was concerned about this unfair treatment. Maybe you're in a situation right now where you're being treated unfairly. The Lord may have allowed this situation in your life to let you learn some hard lessons, like patience, like humility, or maybe even to appreciate what our Lord went through when he was here on this earth. But the Lord knows your situation, and he is concerned about the unfair treatment that you may be receiving right now. In his time, he will vindicate you. Illustration: I was just speaking to a Christian young man this week who is being treated unfairly in his place of employment. He should have been promoted or at least given a raise, but he's been passed over several times. While speaking with him this week, I shared this story from the life of Jacob with him. I told him that because God knows and cares, his story isn't over yet. God is concerned about the unfair treatment of his children. Doctrinal point number two: God can use the unfair treatment of his children to guide them. God can use the unfair treatment of his children to guide them. Not only did God use the unfair treatment in Jacob's life to teach him some lessons in the school of God, he also used it to guide Jacob to leave Haran, Paddan Aram, and go back home. The Lord showed Jacob what he wanted him to do in two ways. One, he told him directly, again there in verse 13, "Now arise, get out of this land and return to the land of your kindred." And two, he guided Jacob with circumstances. And the circumstances here were the unfair dealings of Laban. God uses circumstances today to help guide his children, to guide you. And sometimes these circumstances include unfair treatment. I know the Lord used the circumstances of unfair treatment to guide me out of secular employment and into the Lord's work full time. You know, as a research engineer, I had the very unpleasant experience of having my immediate boss claim everything good that I did as his own work. But he never took responsibility for anything that went wrong. Well, I was ready for a change. I was ready to move when the Lord opened the door for full-time Christian service. If it wasn't for those circumstances of unfair treatment, I'm not sure whether I would have been looking to the Lord for possible guidance in this situation. Well, maybe the unfair treatment that you're experiencing right now is a means by which the Lord will guide you, a means by which the Lord is beginning to speak to you. God can use the unfair treatment of his children to guide them. We see that in the life of Jacob. It may be true in your life as well. Practical application. Your genes were packaged by God. Your genes were packaged by God. You're probably saying, what's he talking about anyway? What kind of practical application is that? Well, I don't mean the genes that you wear, but your DNA genes. Not genes, J-E-A-N-S, but genes, G-E-N-E-S. Look again at what Jacob says about his dream in this chapter, verses 11 and 12. Then the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, here I am. And he said, lift your eyes now and see all the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. For I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. In other words, God was controlling the packaging of the genes of these animals. Now, if God can control the packaging of the genes in animals, can he do it with people? Of course he can. Can he do it with a person like you? Of course he can. Has he done it with you? Yes, he has. Of course he has. Your genes were packaged by God. You don't think you're a random package of genes that just happened to come along, do you? No way. You were programmed by God to be you. Everything about you, God designed from the beginning. You're special. You were designed to fill a niche or niche that no one else can fill. Your genes were packaged by God. Well, maybe you feel right now that God made a mistake. Maybe you feel that you're not smart enough. You're not good-looking enough. You're not what you would like to be as far as your basic genetic code. Maybe you feel you're like one of those off-colored sheep or goats. You'd rather be more acceptable, like a pure white sheep or a pure black goat. Listen, God packaged up the genes of those animals the way he wanted for a purpose. You see the lesson? God has made you the way he wanted you for a purpose. God has a special purpose for you. Be encouraged. Your genes were packaged by God.